true enough, I love you, written in red. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat that we can gather here on the Lord's Day and realize that something happened 2,000 years ago just rocked our house? It's so good that we can come here and we can worship the Lord and we can just see exciting things happening. God is at work. God's at work in this place. God has brought us together for a very special day, very special reasons. And we're going to pick it up in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. If you were back in the olden days and you spoke Arabic, you would say, Maranatha, Maranatha, which means till He comes. If you spoke that of the Greek language, you would say, Arche ho eltai, meaning till He come, till He comes. And so therefore, we have that same message today, till He comes, thinking of Jesus Christ, till He comes. He has very special thoughts, very special reasons. And I think our forefathers knew of that. The forefathers knew of that because on the state capital, on the capital of the United States, it's written these words, one far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. Let me read that again. One far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. Amazing that the things that we find in our capital in Washington. And so a visitor one time said, hey, what does that statement mean as he read that? And the guide said, he said, I think it refers to the second coming of Christ. So there, several hundred years in our capital, they were thinking about and looking forward until the second coming of Christ. That's the reason why today we can open up the Revelation and we can see this key that will open up major things into our life. And the key is found in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I want to go ahead and kind of give you something in advance before we get there. Do y'all see even so down there? Let me tell you what it means. You ready for this? Yes! Okay? That's what it means. That's what it means. So anytime during the course of this day, God says something and you want to say, yes! You're in tune with the Scripture because that's what those words, even so, means. And I think about Jesus Christ coming. And when the Scripture opens it up, we ask ourselves the question, how shall He come? We want to know. We want to be there. We want to see. How is Jesus coming back? And the Scripture says, behold, He cometh back with clouds. And so therefore, what are we to do today? We are to look up. We're to look up because Jesus Christ is coming. Now, when we think about these words, Jesus told us that He was coming back when He said in John 14, 1 through 3, He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What is He telling us? I will come again. Yes! I love it! I love it! Y'all hang on, I'm going. The Scripture says the second group that points this out is that of the angels. Jesus said it. And then the angel said in Acts chapter 1 verse 9, verses 1 through 11, where after Jesus Christ had ascended up into heaven, two angels appeared, and they begin to say, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the earth? Behold, He is coming back in the same manner in which He left. What? He's coming back. And what was that manner? That manner, He went up in the clouds. But wait a minute. Those clouds are special clouds. We hear Jesus saying He's coming back. We hear the angels saying He's coming back. But listen to the prophets as we pick up with Enoch found in the book of Jude 1:14, where he says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. Behold, that's what the prophets said. He's coming. He's not coming back by Himself. He may have went up by Himself on the day of the resurrection, but when He comes back, He's coming back strong. He's coming back with 10,000s of His saints. Jesus spoke about this in the parables. One of the parables that we pick up on is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, where it talks about the parable of 10 virgins. How that 5 made ready for the coming of the groom. 5 made ready. 5 were foolish. But the scripture says that when the groom came and called the bride, they were to be ready. 5 were ready to go. So he says to us in Matthew 25, 13, "Watch, therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming." Are you ready? You ready? I like it when preachers preach on the second coming. That's a good one. And there was one preacher who was preaching one time on the second coming, and he got out, he was getting on it, you know. He said, "I am coming." And what we do sometimes, he forgot what he's supposed to say next. So he backed up and he recaptured himself and he said, "I am coming." And he forgot. It just didn't come out what he's supposed to say next. So he got all of the strength that he could muster up and he went across and he said, "I am coming." And with that, he lost his step, fell right down into the lap of a woman. And he got up and said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And the woman said, "That's okay, preacher. You told me 3 times you were coming." You know, I love the coming of Jesus Christ. I love to think about today when He's coming, and I'm looking forward to Him come. And the scripture teaches us, how is He coming? We are to look up in the clouds. Jesus Christ is coming in the clouds, but not just any clouds. We're talking about the clouds, the glory clouds. We're talking about the Shekinah glory of God. Where have we seen this? In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, the scripture says, "And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." What was this? A cloud of heaven? What did Jesus go up in? It was the cloud of heaven. It wasn't just any cloud. It was a glory cloud. And then we see that same cloud in Mount Sinai, the manifestation of God in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 13, when the Lord was giving to them the Ten Commandments. The Bible says that the clouds covered the mountains. There was lightning, there was thundering, and the Lord God was in the midst of that. And Moses went up into the clouds, went up into the glory of the Lord. Thirdly, we see that out in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 22, the children of Israel were being led throughout the wilderness for many years, and they followed this cloud, a pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud by night, a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. What was that? That was the glory of the Lord. That was the glory cloud and His presence. And then again, we see this same cloud, as you can look it up in Mark chapter 9 and verse 7, where the Bible teaches us that in Mark chapter 9 verse 7, that there was Jesus and there was Moses and there was Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I love old Simon Peter. He opens up mouth and swaps feet. That's the reason why I identify with Simon Peter. He said, "Lord, it sure is good that we're here today. Let us build a tabernacle, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." And then all of a sudden, you know what happened? The cloud moved in. The glory cloud moved in. And a voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." They hit the ground. And when they opened up, the only one that opened up their eyes, the only one that was left, was Jesus. The glory. So you see, when Christ comes back, He's coming back in glory. And He's coming back with 10,000s of His saints. But just remember for a thought here, Jesus entered into the tomb having been betrayed by Judas. Jesus entered the tomb having been rejected by the kinfolk. Jesus entered the tomb having been lied about by His countrymen. Jesus entered into the tomb having been convicted for no crime. Jesus entered into the tomb having been beaten beyond recognition. Jesus entered into the tomb having been stripped naked on an old rugged cross. Jesus entered into the tomb, spent His last hours, but dying there between two thieves. Jesus entered into the tomb being deserted by His most precious disciples. Jesus entered into the tomb, having his last hours on the cross, being ridiculed by people passing by. Jesus entered into the tomb with all the demons of hell chanting, "Victory, victory is our cry. Victory, victory, he did die." And the angels and the demons, the war that was going on, and the demons and the devil said, "We have won." But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm looking across the eastern sky now. Wait a minute. I see something breaking out of the heavens. Wait a minute. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's coming. And behind him is 10,000s of his saints. Wait a minute. He's coming in glory. The Shekinah glory cloud is now enveloping and covering the world. The face of Jesus is there. It's brighter than the brightest sun. He's coming. And the Shekinah glory cloud and all the nations of the world see him. You see, the tomb is empty. He went into the tomb to pay for your sins and my sins as he died upon the cross. But the scripture says in verse 7, as we read a while ago, "Behold, he cometh in the clouds." Martha Snell Nicholson she's a writer. And maybe for 35 years in her writing, she really picked up on this element, how that Christ is coming back. In her writing, she said, "The best part is the blessed hope of his coming. How I ever lived before I grasped that wonderful truth, I do not know. How anyone lives without it these days, I cannot imagine. Each morning I think, with a leap in the heart, he may come today. And each evening, when I wake, may be in glory. And each day must be lived as though it were my last. And there is so much to be done to purify myself and to set my house in order. I am on tiptoe with expectancy. There are no more gray days, for they're all touched with color. No more dark days, for the radiance of his coming is on the horizon. No more dull days, with glory just around the corner. And no more lonely days, for with his footsteps coming ever nearer and nearer. And the thought that soon I shall see his blessed face and be forever through with pain and tears." I think she had a handle on looking forward to his coming. So what therefore does the Bible teach us? John plainly states Jesus will return, and he's going to return in glory. Wait a minute. Who's going to see him? Who's going to see Jesus? And the Bible says in verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth." Who's going to see him? Every eye. Every eye. Is there a limitation there? Do I read the scripture incorrectly? Do I understand when it says, "Every eye shall see him"? Past, every eye shall see him. Present, every eye shall see him. Those to be born into the future, every eye shall see him. And you might say, how can this be? How can this be done? And I will respond to you, I don't know. I'm going to know, but today I don't know. But this is what I do know. Jesus said that every eye, in fact, it's prophesied in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, "And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for me as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Well, if every eye shall see him, who then? Who then should be afraid? Maybe it's the man who placed other gods in the place of the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's the man who created images and worshiped those images. Maybe it's the man who has taken the name of the Lord in vain. Maybe it's the man who has dishonored his parents. Maybe it's the man who has neglected the Lord's day. Maybe it's the man who has killed. Maybe it's the man who has stolen. Maybe it's the man who has committed adultery. Maybe it's the man who has told lies. Maybe it's the man who has coveted his neighbor's possession. Maybe it's that man. That's the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says, every eye shall see him. Behold, he is coming. Sometimes I feel like we're focused on a lot of things. If I were to ask you, what are you thinking about this week? Some would say, how am I going to make my next month rent? Some would be saying, how can I pay off that credit card? Some is saying, well, man, I've got a big test this week. That's my focus. Others might be saying, well, man, I need to find that young man or that young woman that just rings my bell. That's what we used to say. Anyhow, they're looking for what is on the mind. You know, we got a lot of things on our mind. But the most important thing that we could have on our mind is looking up. The Scripture says, behold, he comes. And when I focus in on him coming, then everything else becomes in perspective. Behold, he's coming. How do I raise my family? Behold, he's coming. Who am I to marry? Behold, he's coming. How am I to be at work? Behold, all of these things come into focus when we put him in the sky and in our heart and we look up and we say, behold, he's coming. Sometimes when we pray, do you ever get wrapped up in some of prayer? So many times we should pray for everybody. We should pray for the sick and the healthy. Okay? We should pray. But sometimes I feel like we pray more trying to keep people out of heaven than trying to get people into heaven. Don't you think? And maybe if we start focusing in on the second coming of the Lord, not only will we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who need the Lord, but those who need to look up. We need to share some good news. And the good news is that, behold, he's coming. He's coming with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming. A few weeks ago, watching our son, you talk about your grandchildren. You get my age, you can do that. Ask a woman, do you have a picture? And they bring out this portfolio. You know, today now we have computers and we say, oh, look at here. Hit the button, man. You can see 10,000. But anyhow, when we were just waiting for our grandchild, Ro, to be born, it was kind of amazing because it was tense because mom has to do what mom has to do with everything that moms do. But there was that moment in which they brought out that little baby and they put it in my son's arm. That was one of the most neatest times. That was a neat moment. You know, another neat moment would have been, wouldn't it have been neat to have been right there when Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus and he opened his eyes for the first time? Wouldn't it have been neat when Jesus was walking along and this woman, her only son was dead and they were carrying to the place of the burial and Jesus said, wait a minute, guys. And he walked up there and he touched the casket and this little boy rose up. Wouldn't it have been neat? Wouldn't it have been neat to have been there when Jesus was there right there at the tomb where Lazarus was and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And this guy that was wrapped in cloth and linen, wouldn't it have been neat to see him walk out of that tomb? I wasn't there. If I'd have been there, I believe I'd be a better preacher today. But let me tell you something. I am going to be with Jesus riding a white horse when he breaks through on the eastern skies. I'm going to be there. That's one I'm not going to miss. And throughout all of eternity, that's one that I'll be able to say, I was there when Jesus rode back. Are you looking for him? He's coming. And the Scripture teaches it that I will be there. But who's going to be looking for him? There's two groups that in the last part of this verse, in verse 7 it says, and all the kindred of the earth Well, let me back it up. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, his glory clouds. Every eye is going to see him. They which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. All the kindreds of the earth? All the kindreds of the earth? All the nations of the world are going to wail? You see, there's only two categories of people. Those who are watching for him, and those who are going to wail when he returns. If you're watching for him, you'll see the glory. If you're not watching for him, you will wail. Now, what does wail mean? Wail. The Greek word means to cut. It means here is the approaching of the Lord Jesus, and they're going to cry out as though they were cutting themselves. I guess one of my neighbor's son was killed or died. And I was there in the emergency room, and the mother was there when she came in, and it was her son, and the brokenness. And I can almost hear her in those words as she looked upon this lifelessness of her son, and whom she had raised for so many years, and death had claimed him so suddenly. The nurse said to me, help her leave. Help her out. And I went up to her and I said, it's time to go. And she said, let me alone. No, let me alone. Can I not stay with my son? He's my son. Heart was broken. Understand that type of mourning. And yet when Jesus breaks through the eastern skies, those who are not prepared, they're going to mourn as though it was a mother who lost her son. Be ready. Jesus said, he's coming. He's coming. And when he comes, we must be ready. Must be ready. So therefore, the last group that we look at is found in this verse. It says, behold, he cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all the kindreds. You see, there's no nation in the world that's following Christ. No nation. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And then, the words that I love. Yes, amen. Because you see, that's what the Christian says. That's what the believer says. They know the horror when Christ is going to judge the unjust, but they know the glory that's going to surround him when he comes. Even so, Lord, come. Come quickly. And so the blind man said yes to Jesus, and he could see. Martha said yes to Jesus, and her brother Lazarus walked out of the tomb. Peter said, yes to Jesus, I love you. And one day, you and I will be able to say yes to Jesus. Maybe the words of Fanny Crosby are appropriate for this. Fanny Crosby was blind, and yet she wrote these words, entitled in the book, in the hymn book, it says, My Savior First of All. When my life's work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall, to the sweet vales of Eden they will sing my welcome home. But I long to see my Savior first of all. Through the gates of this city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. And in the glad song of the ages, I shall mingle with delight. But I long to see my Savior first of all. Oh man, wouldn't that be something? Blind all your life. I want to see the face of Jesus, first of all. The primitive church thought more of the second coming of Christ than death. and about heaven. The early Christians were looking not for a cliff in the ground called a grave, but for a cleavage in the sky called glory. And I love this, what Alexander McLaren wrote. He said, "They were not watching for the undertaker. They were watching for the uppertaker." Buddy, I love that. How is he coming? In clouds of glory. Who will see him? All creation, living and dead, will see him when he comes. What will be the response of the lost man? He will wail. What will be the response of the saved man? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I heard the story told of a home that was for special children. These special children had to live because of their many mental capabilities. And it is said that in that home they taught Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus loves you and He's coming to take you home with Him. And so these children, what would they do? They would look for Him. It is said that they couldn't keep the windows clean because these children were running up there and they were putting their face up against the glass, looking out to see if Jesus was coming right then. Folks, a lot to be learned. Let's look for Jesus. Let's put our face against the glass. Let's smudge it up and say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, we magnify the name of Jesus Christ because He is risen. That cold tomb, oh, it's nothing but a marker that says He's risen. Oh, the warmth of the sunshine is nothing but the brilliance to be mindful that Christ's face is going to be brighter than the sun. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Your people are looking for you to come. In Jesus' name, amen.